Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 2 of the Insert Edition of Local Folks Podcast. My name is Bob Madar, and in today's episode, we're going to spend some time with somebody that I met a couple of years ago whose name is Mickey. And how did I meet Mickey, you ask? Or maybe you didn't ask that, but anyway, how did I meet Mickey? Well, I was, at the time, I was volunteering with Lumina Hospice and Palliative Care here in Corvallis to help hospice patients create life reviews. And a life review is really just the patient reminiscing about their lives. And the process is pretty simple. You sit down and with the patient, have a conversation with them, and record the conversation as they talk about their life. I spent probably a good 6 hours with Mickey over several days recording aspects of his life. And I have to say, talking to Mickey was like talking to my dad. Mickey was 96 when we talked a couple of years ago. And that kind of puts him in the greatest generation, which was my father's generation. Folks who came of age during the 20th century and lived through many of its important and monumental events, World War II, the Great Depression, etc. And, Mickey just had so many interesting things to say. And as I was listening to the recording, I began to reflect, our communities are full of people like Mickey, people we see every day on the street. Older people that, have lived amazing lives with all kinds of adventures that, they carry with them and have informed them and they've learned from. And I just thought, maybe Mickey's got something to say to all of us. So here's Mickey. So this is going to be roughly chronological. One of the things that happens as you age, I'm getting kind of up there. I'm around 71, almost 72. Mickey, is a good deal older than I am. And one of the things that, happens to you as you get older is your memory gets selective, shall we say. So I find this happening to me, but Mickey, it was very interesting. There are certain things that are crystal clear, memories that he has that are just crystal clear and full of detail. And they can be quite old memories, of a childhood. But the interesting thing is then if you ask him another question, the detail, like, he was sharing a memory with my time, I said, so just what year was that, Mickey? There's a bit of a pause and he doesn't know because those details he doesn't remember. So this will be an episodic journey through Mickey's life. To start off with, I'd like to just share some reminiscences Mickey had from his childhood when he was growing up. About his family, and then we'll look at a couple of things, listen to him talk about his first jobs and a few other things. So to begin with then, here's Mickey talking about when he was born and where he grew up.
I was born in New Haven, Connecticut, 1921. October 25th, at 427 Ellsworth Avenue, New Haven, Connecticut. I went to elementary school called Roger Sherman, and before I went to middle school, my family moved to Danbury, Connecticut.
Danbury, Connecticut.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, my father had a store there.
What kind of a store?
Fruits and vegetables. Huh? Yeah. And that was his business. He had been a wholesale fruit and vegetable person in New Haven. So we moved to Danbury for a new opportunity. Oh, and he had a partner. But within a very short time, the partner, I think the word is absquatulated. He took off with the bank account and the cash register and anything else of value, with his family. And we've never heard anything about him or from him ever since. Cleaned out the bank account.
Was that must have been kind of a challenge for your family when that happened.
he kept the store open. He kept on going.
Good for him.
Yeah.
So do you have brothers and sisters, Mickey?
Yeah. I had two brothers and a sister. My older brother was Edward Walter. And the second brother was Saul. I think he was Saul Solomon. And my sister was Helen Charlotte. I lived in kind of a bifurcated family. My mother and my brother Saul were one, and me and my brother Eddie and my sister Helen were the other side. Yeah. I used to think very badly of that brother.
Saul.
But, you know, he was like isolated. We were, my sister, my brother, my big brother Eddie, and myself were my father's children. And Saul was my mother's. Didn't work very well. Saul got mean, used to beat me up.
Now, was Saul, were you younger than Saul?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so you were.
I was the youngest. Father used to introduce me in the store as, he's my baby, you know. A little embarrassing, but I loved it, you know. Well, we were my father's children.
Oh, I see.
And
okay.
Saul was his mother's boy.
Okay, okay. So Saul was a half-brother then to you?
No,
he was
real,
your full brother. I got
but
it.
But emotionally.
Got it.
And connections, he was my mother's son.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And, you know, I only realized of late that was a great deprivation for him, not to be close to my father as we were.
Mickey grew up during the Great Depression, and like a lot of children who grew up during that time, when he was old enough, he had to go to work to help support his family. And by the way, the WPA stands for the Works Progress Administration, which was a program that was started by President Franklin D. Roosevelt during the Depression as an unemployment and infrastructure program. And by the time it was finished, after about 9 years, I believe it employed somewhere in the neighborhood of 8.5 million Americans.
One of my first jobs, the first job, I believe, other than working for my father, you know,
mm-hmm, right,
was at a United States working men's camp. And I was behind a cage, and I would sell cigarettes and a comb and little things, you know. And these guys were WPA people.
Oh, yeah, okay, all right.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that was right during the Depression then. Mm-hmm. So you got your first job right during the Depression then.
Yeah.
Boy.
I might have been making $9 a week, I don't know. I put it on the table, though.
So did you then give some of your earnings to the family?
I would get $12 and I would put $10 on the table and keep $2 for myself.
Wow. I'll bet that money was important to your family, huh?
Oh, yeah. Because if my father and my two brothers each put $10 on the table, that was 30 bucks a week. That was good money. Then I got a paper route.
You did?
Yeah.
So your first job was with the WPA guys, and then you got a paper route after that? Well, anyway, you got a paper route. So, yeah.
I went around soliciting, and I got a customers, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I would pick up the papers at the wholesaler, and they didn't take money until you came back.
Oh.
They gave you credit. So I would sell various papers, including Italian papers.
Was it a morning paper route? Was it a morning route?
Yeah, Sunday morning.
Sunday morning.
Yeah. Until I learned how to drive.
Oh, okay.
Then I would steal my father's car and deliver my papers from the car. Of course, he knew. But he didn't bother me.
That's good. That's good.
Yeah, it's just, you know, it was a small town. You couldn't get in much trouble. It was Danbury, Connecticut.
Right, right, right.
Maybe 25,000 people.
So not huge. Hmm? Not a huge town.
No.
Wow.
I remember you could buy gasoline, 8 gallons for a dollar. And my father, he knew I was using the car. Mm-hmm. And you know, cars were cheap.
Ooh.
At one point, he bought a luxury Packard.
Oh, that's great.
With a window that wound up between the passengers and the driver. Ooh. With bucket seats, you know. Oh, it was plush. It was so beautiful. He didn't keep it long. He traded it in for an older Packard, which was, you know, good enough for his purposes. Go in the market, take the back seat out, go in the market, throw in crates of oranges and lettuce and this and that. And
mm-hmm.
He used it as a truck.
30 dollars a week was good money. Boy, things have changed. For Mickey and my parents, the Great Depression was, I think, a defining moment in their lives and one that they would never, ever forget. I remember talking with my mom, who grew up in Spokane, Washington during the Depression, and a story that she told about her older brother, my Uncle George, finding a $5 bill on the sidewalk that someone had dropped. Mom said that George used that $5 to buy luxuries for himself, little luxuries like chewing gum, cigarettes, and things like that that he couldn't afford otherwise. And she said that he made that $5 last for several months. And I think that some of the characteristics of my parents' generation and Mickey's generation, frugality, strong work ethic, humility, are a direct result of the things they experienced during the Great Depression. You know, if there's one thing that I can say for sure about Mickey, it's that he loves to work with his hands and has done so at various junctures throughout his life as a machinist, a mechanic, a sculptor. And sometimes in life, you know, those abilities can manifest at a fairly early age. So here's Mickey sharing an incident from his adolescence, and after we're finished listening to it, I think we'll all kind of agree, yep, I do believe Mickey has some skill working with his hands.
You know, when I was 14 years old, I lived in Danbury, Connecticut.
Right.
And I had a little Chevy, 1932 Chevy. And I was going up a long hill. And suddenly, it didn't pull anymore. I tried all the gears, nothing. And I knew that's the rear end. So I backed it off into the grass because it was a very steep hill. And then I pushed it. There happened to be a pit nearby, unused. And I pushed that, it was a 1932 four-door Chevrolet. I pushed it and got it over the pit. And then I went up the road for about a quarter of a mile where there was a gas station and a very nice young man in charge. And I asked him if I could borrow his jack, you know, the kind that you roll, you know.
Oh, yeah, yeah, floor jack, yeah.
What do you call that?
I think those are called a floor jack.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And I went down and I jacked up the car. It was over the pit already. And there were some blocks because people had worked there years ago, you know. And I put the blocks under the carriage of the, and let the jack down, brought the jack back. And then I proceeded to disassemble the rear end, you know, the differential. So I opened the rear end and I thought, oh my God, looks like a great big watch.
Yeah, you know? That's right. Yeah, yeah.
And I drew out the broken axle.
Uh-huh.
I hitchhiked to town and I bought an axle. I remember it cost me $15. Came back, put the thing in, closed up the rear end, poured the oil back into the rear end, got in the car, started the motor, and lo and behold, the goddamn thing backed out. It was wonderful. But I saw how it went together, mm-hmm. and I put it back together, you know?
That's great.
Yeah. I drove that little Chevy 1932 for a long time.
As I said in the introduction, our conversations were not strictly chronological. We jumped around in time quite a bit. So in closing, here's a vignette from Mickey about a chance encounter he had in the first house that he ever owned.
Well, you see, I had purchased a piece of land with a house, and it was my first night in that house, and very bare, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I was sitting, the kitchen was two steps down, that is the dining room,
mm-hmm.
and I was sitting opposite the stove and the sink and cabinets, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just sitting in a chair, and a little field mouse came up from behind the stove in the corner of the dining room, you know, a potbelly stove. And he walked across, and he stopped in front of me, and he looked up. He'd never seen a human being before, and I never saw a field mouse before, you know. And he was cute as hell. He was a soft gray, with little perky ears and twitchy nose and a white belly. And he looked up at me as if to say, well, who the hell are you, you know? So he went around and he got up on the stove and he was licking the grease off the grill, you know. And I thought, well, you're hungry. Okay, I'll help you out. So very slowly, I got up and I walked to the cabinet. And I took out a Ritz cracker. And the little field mouse was on the stove, licking the old grease from the grill. And very slowly, I held out the cracker. And the little field mouse looked at me and took the cracker. And boom, down he went into his nest to feed her children. Well, it was a magical moment, really. Yeah.
Well, thank you for listening, and I hope you'll return for episode 3, airing on July 1st, when we'll spend more time with Mickey as he talks about his memories and offers some words of wisdom about living a full and meaningful life.
KBOO Portland.